1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Let's stand as we read, as we give reverence to the Word of God. Okay, quite a sober verse, but it's in the context of what is our attitudes when we come to the Lord's table. All right? Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Ready? Ready? 1, 2. Begin. Wherefore, whatsoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's a word of prayer. Father, thank you for bringing brethren all the way, Father, from Amanu, all the way from Bangladesh to join us. Lord, it's such a blessing to see brethren who have a heart to reach out to their own countrymen. Brethren who want, a brother who wants to learn the Bible so that he can reach out to his own countrymen. Father, we ask right now that you would bless him, not just him, and also for anyone, Lord, who comes into your presence to try to understand your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit comes into every session like this, because you promise that when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. You promise, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, according to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Father, you promise that when we gather in your name, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. And because you are the focus, Lord, of our meeting, we cannot learn anything unless the Holy Spirit teaches us. So, Father, I commit every individual here that we will all give our hearts and attention to your word and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us regarding, Lord, our attitudes when we come to the Lord's table. We pray for our brethren who is sick. I pray for Brother Denzel's family, for Sister Kim to help her to recover. I pray for Ethan's feet to also recover. Pray also for our brethren overseas, for Zoe-chan who has just left. Keep her, Lord, safe as she is still in the air. I pray for Brother Peng Kong overseas. Keep him safe as he works. And be his family. I pray that you preserve them, Lord, in your love. I pray also and thank you for those who have raised Sister Jamie, if we help her recover, and also for Brother Sean, who is having sore throat and phlegm. Lord, I pray and thank you that as a gathering of your people, we can humble our hearts to just think on you and reflect on your goodness tonight. We pray you speak to us in a special way and prepare our hearts, Lord, for the Lord's Supper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. All right. Okay, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Okay. In some churches, they call it the Holy Communion. Okay, the Holy Communion. Generally, we don't use that because it actually has the idea of it's the idea of a sacrament. If you know a sacrament, sacrament is actually used in the Catholic Church, whereby when you actually practice that practice, you actually receive special grace. Okay, that's the idea of a sacrament. The Holy Communion comes from there. But the Bible, we don't use Holy Communion because the Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. The Bible calls it the Supper of the Lord, okay? Okay, a few points about the Lord's Supper first before we start. The Lord's Supper is an important institution. When did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper? When did he give the Lord's Supper? The night he was betrayed, okay? He actually says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. So it was an important institution. Just like the institution of the family, interesting, putting on a bigger platform, institution of the church, the Lord's Supper, though it's only a feast, is important. Why is it important? Because it is a feast appointed by God to be remembered in His church. Okay? It is an event. Sorry, if it is an event, if it is a whole institution, or if it's just an instruction, we are to take it seriously. Because let's turn to Isaiah 66, all right? Isaiah 66 and verse number 2. If it is just an event, if it might be a whole institution, or maybe it's just an instruction, as believers in Christ, we are to take it seriously because Isaiah 66 verse 2, this is God's heart about who he puts a lot of focus on, right? in verse 2. Let's all read together. Ready? Verse 2. Ready? 1, 2, go. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. There are two criteria that God looks out for men. Number one, humility of heart. Humility of heart, okay? Humility of heart. And someone who trembleth at my word. The idea is there is such a reverence for God's word that whatever God says, he takes it seriously. Okay, so that's what we need to do. The Lord's Supper is also only open to church members. Okay, the reason for the following, the reason is because of this. Let's turn to a few Bible verses, all right, so that we can understand why. There are four reasons. Number one, the Lord's Supper is to be taken as a church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, not 11, 27, 12, verse 27, this is an important verse. The Bible says, if you are there, let's read together, right? 1, 2, go. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. In the context, who is Paul talking to? He was talking to the? Corinthian church. Okay, you all, he's talking to the church there, you all are the body of Christ and members in particular. The word members, if you read the Greek, means that you are parts, you are portions of the big body. You are portions of the big body. Okay? Example, a body has a head, has hands, has feet, has body. We are all members of this body. Okay? And that's an important principle. The Bible says here, and you've turned back to 1 Corinthians 11, 20, verse 33. Verse 11, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place. If you understand the scripture, Paul is talking about something they had during that time. It's called a charity feast. Okay, the charity feast, a love feast, whereby the church will actually bring food, kind of like an anniversary and all that, kind of like our Mother's Day, you know, whereby the fathers will, you know, put on their aprons and cook, you know, and just bring the food in for everyone. It's kind of a charity feast, okay? So Paul actually talks about when you come together in one place. Now, there are some people who believe, oh, you can go to any church and take the Lord's Supper. When you come together into one place, the idea is that it has reference to the local body, okay? And so when talking to the Corinthian church, it has reference to that body. And therefore, the Lord's Supper is taken as a church body, which is a local church. Okay, that's what Paul was talking about. When you come together in one place, just like this. In Australia, do you know that in Australia, you can actually buy bread and wine from the church? Okay, now, this is a Catholic mass. You can actually take the Catholic mass in your pajamas. They have it at 6:30. You switch on the television at 6:10 or 20. You wait until the priest will actually do the rite on television and just follow along, okay? But that is not God's will, because God says when you come together in one place, okay? The Lord's Supper is to be taken as a church body, that's one. Point number two, the Lord's Supper is under the church discipline, meaning in 1 Corinthians 5, I think we mentioned that, there is a limitation to who participates in the church-ordained institution, okay? There are some churches who believe that everyone can take the Lord's Supper. If you have belief in Christ, you can. That is not the will of God. When you are saved, you are born again, you are added to the family of God. When you are baptized, you are added to the church. There's a big difference there. Does that make sense? When you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are added to the family of God. That's why we all can call... Even people from other churches, they are brothers and sisters. Like Aminu, we call him brother Aminu. Why? Because we are all in the same family of God. And that's a blessing. But to join a church, you need to be baptized. Okay, that's Acts chapter 2. So we need to be careful. The church, the Lord's Supper is under the church's discipline. And there is a limitation, okay, to the people who participate in that. And then point number three, the church is to be unified. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The third reason why we practice closed, okay, Lord's Supper is because the church is to be united. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, let's read together, okay, ready? 1, 2, go. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak of the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul actually beseeched the Corinthian church because one of the things the Corinthian church had was division. They actually had division in the church. And Paul was begging them, say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, means under the authority of God, Paul tells them, please speak the same, that there will be no divisions among you. Okay? The church is to be united, not only by love, but also by doctrine. You cannot be one if you are diverse in doctrine. Okay? Unless you choose not to focus on doctrine. In Australia, once again, there's a preacher who says, you know what, we need unity even at the expense of doctrine. Let's put doctrine aside. But yet the scriptures teach us that we are united in His word. Okay? And that's more important than love. Okay? With regards to unity. These two need to go together. Okay? But we need to be careful that even the oneness in doctrine is important, which is why we cannot separate, but we cannot participate in the Lord's Supper with another individual who's from another church or of unlike faith. All right, there's a spiritual unity we have because we all believe the same thing. All right, if you go to another church, by virtue of this doctrine of the local church, we cannot actually participate because we're not that part of that body. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, so there will be no exception except if one can show that he is from a baptism from another church of like faith. All right, and then after that he joins the local church here. Okay. Another point, the last one, is a practical method. I take this from a counsel from Brother Cloud. It is wise for a church to practice the Lord's Supper in a meeting separate from the usual service. Okay, the reason is because it may embarrass visitors or the unsafe people, because we will actually have to say those who are not baptized and not members of our church are kindly refrain. And I find also practically it is better to be on a Friday where church members actually devote and consecrate a day and time to honor the Lord in the Lord's Supper. Okay, yes, it's more convenient to just do it one shot on Sunday, but you know, you realize one thing, after the service, if we have the Lord's Supper, all the visitors will go off and we don't have time to minister to them. All right, unless in some churches they do it before the message, and so I know in MBC they did it before, and then those people, then we have to explain. And as a result, that some people may get stumbled. So we need to be very careful there. Okay? So that's why we have it on Friday. So the above are some notes as to why we practice what we do. Okay? Any questions for the local church? Why we only practice closed? Okay, it's an important doctrine. All right? The reason why it's important, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. The doctrine of the local church is a very important doctrine in the scriptures. Okay? Now, going on very quickly, what are some of our attitudes we need to have when coming to the Lord's table, okay, as we think? Now the Lord Jesus mentioned in our text for today, 1 Corinthians 11, 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. When we take the Lord's Supper afterwards as church members, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned very clearly, if anyone eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Okay? Now, what does unworthily mean? The word unworthy in the Greek means common, nothing important, nothing, no value in it at all. It's just another thing. I just go through the motion. I'm just there because I have to. I just do it because I will feel bad if I don't. There's no value in it. When we come casually to the Lord's table with no serious consideration, no understanding of the significance of the event, no honor given to it, such that we treat it like any ordinary event, we are partaking the Lord's Supper unworthily. Okay? When we think, sometimes we come, and oh, we're tired. Yeah, Lord's Supper must come. Lord. When we take that casual attitude, and that kind of attitude, we are coming to the Lord's table unworthily. And the Bible says we are then guilty of our treatment of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. We are guilty of the body and the blood. Any questions? Any questions? When we come casually and say, no, it's just an ordinary thing, I personally believe no one treats the Lord's Supper like that. It's one thing to do it by duty. We have to move from duty to a love for Christ in the Lord's Supper. We have to. As genuine believers, if we take the Lord's Supper just like another thing, and unfortunately many people treat even church, oh, just come, take it or leave it. I've got another plan that's more important, I'll just go for that plan. We need to realize five things, what kind of attitudes we need to have as we approach the Lord's table. Number one, in 1 Corinthians 11:27, we must realize the high value of our salvation. The high value. When you approach the Lord's Supper, we must realize the high value of our salvation. Okay, why do I say that? Paul says, when we come to the Lord's table, we take it unworthily, we treat it as a common thing. In other words, we don't give any heart to it. We are then guilty. We are guilty of treating the sacrifice of Christ as if, kind of, I can just take it or leave it. You know? It's kind of like, I think some of you have some of you at home, you have very valuable stuff. Very valuable stuff. You know how I know it's valuable? When someone touches it, you say, hey, don't touch, ah. That's very valuable, you know. You esteem it, you put high honor to it, and you will kill the person who break it or something like that. Okay. No, I don't literally kill, but I think you get angry with that person who actually killed it. Do you realize? Well, why are you smiling? Something happened, never mind. Christians, we need to treat salvation as that precious thing. Of course, the difference is that we don't stop people from taking it. In fact, you want to share it. But you know, salvation ought to be so important to you that anything that helps you to remember what Jesus has done for you ought to be of high value. Example, do you know why the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper? Do you know why He instituted the Lord's Supper? Anyone? Why did Jesus want us to take the Lord's Supper as often as ye do it? Why? Is there, Charlene, any idea? To remember what He has done for us. We do show the Lord's death. We do show the Lord until He come. We show the blood that was shed, the body that was broken. That's the purpose. But yet, if we come the Lord's table with a casual attitude, then we are not realizing the high value. Christians, we need to realize the high value of our salvation. All right, number one. Number two, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, which is the next one. The next attitude we need to have, we need to come with prayerful self-examination. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. When we come, we must always remember the Lord's Supper is a time where God wants us to examine ourselves. That's why He says, let a man examine himself. That we do not take the Lord's Supper, that we do not take the Lord's salvation for granted. That we don't go around life doing what we want, forgetting how much Jesus has done for us. I think a lot of Christians lose that fellowship, lose that power in their life simply because the power of the cross is not embedded in our hearts. That we love it, we will meditate upon it, and we want God to use God's love in our lives for someone else. Okay, we tend to forget. We are to come with prayerful self-examination. What do we examine? In Psalm 139, verse 24, the Bible says what? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Let's turn there, right? Because this will be a good formula for self-examination. Because this is what David did. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Okay, let's read together, okay? There's a few layers that we need to take note of. First, what? Psalm 139, yeah, I think the youth can memorize it. Come on. Yeah, you memorize it for your Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, the last two verses, okay? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Four things David asked. Number one, search me, O God. Search me. What does it mean to search? Joseph, do you mind coming here? Oh, no, you're coming here with your bag. Come. Just use him as an illustration, okay? Okay. You know, what does it mean to search you? So I'll search. Okay? God is not interested in what we have. Okay? But God is interested in opening your heart, opening your mind, opening what you are thinking, opening your heart. Okay? If there's a zip there, it'll be easier, right? Thank you. But God says, David says, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Sorry, firstly, know my heart. Search me, know my heart. The word know means to comprehensively understand what's in my heart. Search me, O God. You know what David was prepared to do? God, I'm prepared to open my heart to you. You come in and search. How many of you, if God says, I'm coming to your house to search out what you have in your rooms, you have to put all your passwords to your internet account and your handphones and your Twitter and your whatever you have on, write it out. I'm coming to search out everything that you have. How many of you say, wait, God, now let me change the password first. How many of us would actually have to do that? You know what David says? God, you just search my heart. I'm open. I'm open. If we will not allow men to search, God doesn't need a search warrant. He sees it anyway. God can see it with his eyes. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows all. You know what David says? But no, that's what God actually wants to hear from us. God, you search me. I'm already doing it, but I'm happy that you're allowing me to know my heart and then test me, try me, know my thoughts, know what I'm thinking. And then see if, God's supposed to see if there's any wicked way in me. Christians, as we come to the Lord's table, if we don't search out wicked ways in us, and we consider that sin in our lives as we take the Lord's Supper, you know what happens? We are treating the blood of Christ as an ordinary thing. Did you know that? That means that we have no reverence for the blood of Christ that has cleansed us from that sin, because we continue to participate in it. Alright? God wants us to check, is there anything wicked in me? The word wicked simply means anything that is away or perverse from the truth. Wicked. Anything that's immoral against the rule that God has set. Okay? If there's any wicked, and then ask God to lead us into life everlasting. Okay? As we come to the Lord's table, we must come with prayerful self-examination. Okay, point number three. Let's turn back 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again, verse 29 to 30. Stop me if you need to ask a question. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29-30, number three, we must realize there are serious consequences if we come unworthily to the Lord's table. In verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not understanding the significance of your salvation, not discerning the Lord's body. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, this is a serious warning. The Corinthian church was a very carnal church, to the point that they would treat people, those especially those who are poor, they would treat them with pee. All right? The charity love feasts was supposed to be shared by the poor and the rich. Everyone was supposed to bring something to the church so that we can share. The rich people in Corinthian church had this attitude. Why should I share what I have with the poor? My money? Why should I give it to the poor? And so many of the poor people, when they came to the love feast, of course they are hungry, they know how much they will eat. And after a while, the rich people think like that. You know what they think? Oh, the love feast is at 6 p.m. We come at 5 p.m. We bring the food, we eat first. And then when the poor people come, they don't have an opportunity to eat. You know what? Paul had to address this. What kind of love do you have for each other? And then when they come to the Lord's Supper, it was supposed to bind them, it was actually dividing them. And so when they eat and drink unworthily, they were eating damnation to themselves. You know, in verse 30, that's what Paul said, "For this reason, many are weak and sickly among you." Many sleep. What does it mean, many sleep? Many die. God actually, I shudder even to say that, God actually killed those people who actually took the Lord's Supper unworthily. You know, we live in the age of grace, but you know, Christians, we ought never to take God's grace for granted. Would you agree with that? We ought never to take God's grace for granted. In the scriptures, it is taught clearly that those people who take the Lord's Supper unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, were put to sleep, and many actually were very sick. I'm not saying those who are sick now, like Sean, and I'm not saying, all right, but I'm saying that there is a reason in the Corinthian church that was addressed by God, that because these people died simply because God revealed to Paul, some of them were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. All right, we need to search our hearts. God, is there something that I have in my heart that is wrong? Okay, we must realize there are serious consequences, because if we take the Lord's Supper unworthily, it will reveal our ignorance. Ignorance of the Lord's body. Because the Bible says what? He says, not discerning the Lord's body. We don't understand salvation. You know, it's not just a pastor who takes the Lord's Supper seriously. Every Christian who loves Jesus must take the Lord's Supper seriously, because it is a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. It also shows our poor understanding of what Jesus did for us. Can I say this as pastor? I pray from now on, I mention on Sundays, I pray that those who can really come for the Lord's Supper will not miss it till the day Jesus comes. You know why? Because it reflects a poor understanding of our salvation. Because the Lord's Supper is such an important reminder of what Jesus did for us. I'm not saying sometimes because of work you are unable to come, but you know what? Do all we can to be in the house of God when the Lord's Supper is being taken. Why? Because it actually reflects our low view of salvation. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to conduct the Lord's Supper, would you all be here? We will, right? Do you realize that every Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ sits with us? He sits with us. Why? Because He is in our midst. So I'd like to actually highlight that, because Paul actually says, you don't discern the Lord's body, you don't understand that salvation is so important. Alright? Point number 4. The Bible says, in verse 31, the attitude we need to take when we approach the Lord's table, we need to judge ourselves. Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." The word "judge ourselves" simply means we hold ourselves, as we look at the scriptures, we look at it and say, "That's me." You know, many times when a pastor preach or someone preach or hear a message, you always think, "Yeah, I think so and so should be here in church." You know, when we come to the Lord's table, we don't have that attitude. It's between me and God. Say, "God, Johnny, you have a selfish attitude. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I judge myself." You know what it means to judge yourself? You know what it means to judge yourself? It basically, you beat yourself and say, "I shouldn't have done that. I'm wrong, God. I confess my sin. I judge myself." In other words, I will... I think an example of judging yourself would be example of a criminal. Okay, someone who's committed a crime and he managed to get away. Okay, once he managed to get away, but the conscience in his heart begins to prick on him. You know what he does? He voluntarily surrenders himself. That's judging yourself. Putting yourself in a place of punishment because you know you were wrong. Does that make sense? An example is, remember the thief on the cross? They're all very serious, probably reflecting. Remember the thief on the cross? On the one hand, one was cursing Jesus. Another one actually says, "Does thou judge? Don't you condemn? This man, the Lord Jesus, the thief was on the cross and he was saying, Lord Jesus Christ didn't deserve this, but we deserve what we are getting now. Remember? Just judging ourselves. We deserve this. We deserve this. And all he could do was ask, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. That's all he wanted Jesus to do, just remember him. You know, Jesus says that act of faith and humility put his name in the book of life, all right? We need to judge ourselves and ensure that we make things right. So important. Okay, and finally, our attitude when you come to the Lord's table, look at verse 33. But when we are judged, verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. We need to come to the Lord's table. Now, this is interesting. With love in our hearts for each other. You know what Paul was referring to? They were referring to what I told you just now, but the rich people would eat all the food so that the poor people don't get to eat. And that's why Paul says, when you come to the Lord's table, I want you to wait for one another. Because that waiting will reflect your love for those who don't have. And when we come to the Lord's table, we need to clean ourselves of this wicked sin of hatred. Wicked sin is a wicked sin because it divides people, it breaks up relationships. We need to come to the Lord's table with love in our hearts for one another, according to 1 Corinthians 11:33. Okay? So these are some of the attitudes we need to have when we come to the Lord's table. Okay, any questions? Firstly, realize the high value of our salvation. We are to come with prayerful self-examination. We must realize there are serious consequences. We need to take the attitude that we judge ourselves, not our neighbors. Okay? And we need to come to the Lord's table with love in our hearts for one another. That when we look at one another, we thank God for one another. You know, and that's something that we genuinely can say that. We're all different. Some tall, some short, some from different countries. But you know what? We're all one in Christ. And if that happens, then there's love. And then that's where we are able to share the love of God with others. All right, any questions? Any questions? All right. So let's just bow forward our prayer, right? Then we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this 20 minutes. Half an hour of exposition of your word. Thank you for the understanding, Lord, why we conduct the Lord's Supper on a closed basis where only members of our church will partake. Lord, it's never to reflect our exclusivity, it's never to reflect our pride that we are better than others, but rather just to understand, Lord, from Scripture that you teach us to have the Lord's Supper as members of the church. Father, I thank you also for this lesson from 1 Corinthians 11, the 5 points whereby we need to realize we put a high esteem on salvation. Because, Lord Jesus, without you, we cannot even be here. Without you, Lord, we cannot look at one another and say, brother and sister in Christ. Without your love on the cross, without your punishment, without the sacrifice that you did on the cross, we will never see, after we leave this world, the beauty of God and the love of Christ. We will be forever in the lake of fire. Father, if we have nothing in this life except salvation, we are so blessed already. And for those who really understand salvation, Lord, that is the thing that we need to put our eyes on. Yes, we may not be the best. We try our best, but we may not have the best. But Lord, when we have salvation, we have the best from God. We're thankful for that. Lord, I pray that every brethren, when they reflect on the Lord's table, they will always remember the cross. Father, when we look at the cross, there is no reason for hatred. When we look at the cross, there's no reason for pride. When we look at the cross, there's no reason for unforgiveness. When we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, there's no reason for division. Because the cross brings us together in your name. Lord, I thank you for what we are going to do in our life. Lord, in a few moments, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper. We ask you, Lord, to search us. And we ask you, Lord, to judge us. We ask you to search our hearts, try our ways, and see if there's any wicked way in us. With eyes closed, heads bowed, we just spend a few moments in silent prayer and for you to ask God to search your hearts and confess your sins to the Lord. Give thanks in areas of victory and ask God to bind us as one. After I'll pray. And then after that, we'll read the church covenant, and then after this, we'll take the Lord's Supper. Just take a few moments of just silent prayer before the Lord. Father, in the quietness of this moment, we give you praise. We give you praise as we reflect on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Lord, take our heart, our minds back to the time. To the day, Father, that you allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be cruelly scourged. You allowed the crown of thorns to be jammed into his head. You allowed the soldiers to mock him and insult him. And then, Lord, to drag him away to be crucified. And Lord, along the way to Golgotha, along the way to Calvary, the Bible tells us you gave your beard to the smiters. They cast the same in their teeth and they insulted you. And Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ was without strength to the point he couldn't carry the cross. Lord, as they took your body and nailed you to the cross. Father, all you allowed your son to say, all he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, isn't it so true, Lord, that you reveal to us many times, and our sin is because we don't know what we are doing. But we thank you for your sacrifice at the cross. We thank you that the body that was broken, cruelly broken for us. We thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, the blood that flowed from Calvary, from the head, from every part of your body, from the nails, from your ankles. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that was shed. Oh Lord, there are people today who say it's not the blood, yet it was a precious blood, according to your word, that cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Oh God, give us a fresh glimpse of the cross, what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for the body and the blood. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the Lord's Supper so that we can always remember vividly in our mind and in our hearts what you have done for us. Lord, number one, forgive us individually of our sins and our trespasses against you. I believe, Lord, in that session of quietness just now, many Christians poured up their hearts to you. And Father, I pray that you take all this sum and place it under the blood. Wash that away according to your word. That if you confess our sins, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray, collectively as a church, Lord, we don't want to fall into the trap of thinking we are better than anyone. of pride. Father, forgive us as a church for every, not just shortcoming, every sin, Lord, we've committed. Every neglect of our duties. Neglect of prayer. The Father, a failure to consider, Lord, the things that are important in your sight. We ask you to forgive us and to bind us together as one. Yeah, we are weak. Yeah, we are all different. But yet, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are one in Christ. So, Father, we ask you cleanse us and bind us together as one as we partake the Lord's Supper. But we thank you, Lord, the third day you rose again to give us hope of eternal life. Which is one of the reasons why we take the Lord's Supper, Lord, to remember till you come. Father, thank you for this opportunity of prayer. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we give thanks, Lord, in our hearts. And on behalf of Ambassador, may you accept, Father, our hearts, even as we partake the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what you've done for us. Father, there is nothing more important, nothing more precious than the love of Christ and the grace of God and the blood of Christ and our salvation. Nothing else in this world is more important than the restored relationship we have with you. And so, Lord, even as we partake the Lord's Supper, as we read the church covenant and be thankful for that, we pray that, Father, from this time forwards, the Lord's Supper will always have a high esteem in our hearts. And we'll encourage the brethren that are unable to make it today to make it a priority too in their lives. For some may not see, they may not discern the Lord's body as they should. Father, I pray that through our lives and our attendance and our encouragement, they might be able to also see, Father, the importance of the Lord's Supper. We thank you for what you're going to do. Be with us as we continue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.